Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back, and I hope your Wednesday is progressing well, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. You are very welcome to join us here on the Turley Frequency. In case you've just tuned in, my name is Kevin Turley. I'm your host for the next hour here on Archangel Radio, and this next 30-minute segment is particularly important to all of us here because it's the time when we pray together. Yes, we say the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which is a Catholic prayer for anybody who's listening who's not Catholic. It was a prayer which was given to Sister Faustina, as she was then, in 1930s Poland, after a series of apparitions by Our Lord. And over the years, it has gained great currency and great popularity across the Catholic world and probably beyond, and is now very much a Catholic staple when it comes to praying and particularly intercessory prayer. We've been praying it since the show started every single day at 9 a.m. Central Time. And I have to say, we've had some wonderful answers to prayers. We had one yesterday, and we give thanks for all the people who have asked us to pray for them. All the prayers that were answered, all the prayers that were not answered, were answered in different ways. And we especially give thanks for all the people who have taken time out to come in and join me as a prayer warrior. Each day I'm joined by an individual who comes to the studio or down the line, and they pray with me, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and they pray for your intentions. And each day you can send those intentions through on 251-928-2111. Or if you want to speak to me, you can telephone on 888-928-0881. So let's find out who our prayer warrior is today. Reed, do we have someone?
We sure do, Kevin. In the studio with us is Mr. David Williams.
David, welcome back to the Turley Frequency.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to be here.
I hope your week is progressing well.
It is progressing wonderfully. Any better and it'd be a sin.
Especially in Lent. Absolutely. Well, that's the best answer I've ever had, I think. And this is, it's wonderful that your week is going. And it's just about to get better, right? Because
Absolutely.
You've come in to pray with us. And you and I are going to pray for the next 30 minutes. We're praying for people. Obviously, we'll pray for your intentions, David. But we'll also pray for anybody else who wants it. And I don't know if you heard yesterday, we had some great news about Elise. She's cancer-free after our prayers. Not just our prayers, many prayers, but we were included in those prayers. And we were giving thanks yesterday for that. It was just such a wonderful end to the show to hear that somebody had got that good news, right?
True blessing, yes, sir.
Absolutely. Okay, well, you are no stranger to these parts or to this prayer, so I don't need to explain, but I shall do to you, but I shall do to the audience. So what happens now is that I will say some preliminary prayers with David, and then the first decade, there are five decades in all, I shall turn to David, and David and his intentions will be very much the focus of that first decade. But that leaves four decades, and one of them could be yours. And you know what? You don't even have to be Catholic for us to pray for you. You don't have to be Christian. We'll pray for you. Doesn't matter. We are an equal opportunities prayer provider on this network. So, David, I'm assuming you got your beads with you?
I do.
In which case, let us begin.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. And then we say together, David, O blood and water
which gushed
forth from the heart of Jesus
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust
in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, David. So that's us up and running. So this first decade, David, who or what would you like us to pray for?
Kevin, I always want to pray for the conversion of my son, Zachary Christian, for my betrothed, Anna Elizabeth, as she journeys through RCIA and will be welcomed into the church this Easter. I also want to pray for an end to abortion. And then lastly, I also want to pray for a local parishioner for the repose of his soul, Mr. Pat LaConce.
Okay. So that's a wonderful triptych of prayers, David, this morning. So first of all, on the global scale, an end for abortion, absolutely we pray for that, especially in the United States. We pray that the fruit of Roe versus Wade will flow continually into the culture and make it a pro-life culture. And we pray for Pat. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. And delighted to hear Anna Elizabeth is progressing through RCIA. Will she be received this Easter?
She certainly will.
That's wonderful. That's fantastic. Is it Christ the King, David?
Yes, Kevin, it's Christ the King.
Because we heard yesterday, I think McKay, somebody we were talking to this week who talked about 14 catechumens at their parish. It might have been St. Lawrence. This is amazing that all these people are coming to the faith at Easter, on Easter Vigil night. It's absolutely amazing. So we'll definitely pray for Anna Elizabeth at this time and her journey to the faith. And hopefully that journey will bring both of you even closer together.
Amen.
And I was expecting you to pray for Zachary Christian as always. And we continue to pray for him and tell him he's being prayed for. And we look forward to the day when Zachary Christian joins us here live on air and prayers with his Father, the Divine Mercy Chaplain.
One day.
Why not? Why not? Okay, let's lift this all up to the Lord in this decade, David. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David. So, well, we haven't had any requests through yet. So listen, if you're listening to this and there's somebody or something you would like David and me to pray for, then why not text us on 251-928-2111. And you come straight on and we will pray for you almost immediately. So if there's anybody out there. And remember, it can be for big things such as cancer, hospital appointments, all of that stuff. Yeah, we pray for that. But it can also be little things, somebody's birthday, you want to give thanks for something, or some little thing that's on your mind, something that's just plaguing you at this time. It could be an employment issue or anything like that. We'd be delighted to pray for it. And we can do so anonymously as well. So 251-928-2111, lines are open right now. Now, in absence of anybody else, David, that means you get a second bite at the cherry.
I'll take it.
Good.
All right. So, Kevin, I want to pray for all of the employees here at Archangel Radio, for all of their intentions, and then also for your intentions, Kevin, whatever they may be.
Well, my intentions during this 30 minutes are for the intentions of everybody else. So it's sort of reversing around. But we'll pray absolutely for everybody here at Archangel, for Mike, for Reed, for Ellen, Sherry, Shannon, Michelle. I'm sure I've left somebody out. If I have, apologies. Pray for everybody on the board, everybody who donates money, time, effort to make Archangel work. And also for you for listening, everybody who's listening, everybody who talks to their neighbor, their fellow parishioner about Archangel Radio, promotes it in any shape or form. We thank you and we appreciate all that you do. So let's pray for this. Let's also pray for Max Studios. I don't know if you heard the interview we just did there, David. Darnell is running Max Studios, which is part of the University of St. Thomas at Houston, and it's a very interesting, very dynamic, young Catholic media apostolate, and we pray for him and everybody that's involved in Catholic media that they will be truly effective, that they will push the boundaries in the best possible way artistically to try to reach souls so that it never becomes a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy, but something reaching out to other people, especially those on the margins, which is everybody who's listening who's not yet a Catholic. You are invited in. Believe you me, the water is very warm. Okay, David, so is that okay?
We're expanding
that out a little bit.
That sounds great.
All right, let's pray for that in this second decade. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, David. Now, as we've been on air, we've had a request in from our good friend, Dr. Amal. Good morning to you, Dr. Amal, over there. Well, it's good afternoon over in Brussels in Belgium. And I'll just read out what Dr. Amal has sent through. She's asking for prayers for two people with cancer, a 13-year-old boy with the rarest type of leukemia in Belgium, and also an only son whose name is Ryan. His biological Tunisian father has left his Belgian mother alone to face the heartbreaking ordeal. She's also asking for a 40-year-old daughter and for her sister Delia and her family, that a miracle may happen so that they still manage to go to Mass before they travel on Easter Sunday, and that the good Lord may convert the whole family and each one of us. And then she goes on, I love it, Dr. Amal, you really get your money's worth. This is fantastic. Also, I would like to pray for all the souls in purgatory whose family members stopped practicing and consequently depriving those holy souls from much needed prayer and offerings. I think in particular of my brother-in-law's grandmother, who apparently was a woman of great faith, but completely forgotten as the whole family stopped practicing. So wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Amal. So I don't know about you, David, but that's plenty to pray for. We've got a 13-year-old boy with leukemia. We've got this little boy who's been abandoned by his father, Ryan. We've got Delia and her family trying to get to Mass on Easter Sunday. And then we've got Amal's brother-in-law's grandmother, who was a woman of great faith, now completely forgotten by her family.
Just praise and blessings, Kevin. That's a big bucket. Let's get this done.
It's a big bucket, but we're well able to carry that bucket.
Absolutely.
David, thank you, Dr. Amal, for texting in. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David. And again, thank you, Dr. Amal. So let's turn to read this fourth decade. Do you have any intentions this morning?
I sure do, Kevin. I would love to pray for all the hosts of the shows that are live on Archangel Radio. So you and Ellen and Todd, I love working with you guys, and you make it so simple that once everything is set up for you, you just get going, and then there's nothing to worry about anymore. So I'd like to get you guys in there. And then Mike is also here with some intentions as well.
Well, let's hold Mike for the moment. Mike, okay. If you come on, maybe come on the next decade, because I think that's enough for this decade, Reed. I think Todd, Ellen, and me, that's enough. So, Reed, what you're saying is that you think we need prayers.
Certainly.
Yeah. Okay. make of that what you will, David. But I think Reed's heart's in the right place. Yes, we do need prayers, because anybody involved in Catholic media, you can absolutely be absolutely certain that they will feel all the attacks of the evil one if they're in any way effective. So we pray for especially the honor talent here at the station. It's people who are trying to use their gifts to communicate the faith. They don't always do it perfectly, not at all, but that's part of the joy of it, that we just keep trying. We just keep trying to do our best. So thank you, Reed, for that. And let's pray for Todd, Ellen, and me now. Okay.
Perfect.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David, and thank you, Reed, for those intentions. So for this final decade, I will come back to you in a moment, David, for any final thoughts. So if you could just have a little think about anybody else that's come to your mind maybe in the last 30 minutes or so that you want to pray for. But I'm going to turn to our producer, Mike, here. Mike, good to have you back on the show today. We prayed for you and your family yesterday. We hope you had a blessed day, whatever you got up to.
Thank
Who
you.
Or what would you like us to pray for this morning?
Yeah, I'd like to pray for my wife, Jen. Turns out that she's not going to need surgery because her back is she fractured. Is starting to heal, so thank God.
Wonderful.
For that. I pray for the doctors that were assisting her, doctors and nurses that were assisting her. I also pray that for my dear friend, who passed away last week, who was an ardent supporter of the station, Richard Sook. Pray for he and his wife. She's having a hard time, grieving, understandably so. I think that's all I've got as far as prayers. Also, pray for my children as well, who had to, see their mom go through this, be in the hospital again. She was in the hospital this time last year with cancer treatments, and so my prayers go out to them. And I'm so thankful to God, for all of them, and thankful for the way Donnie handled it by calling 911. He showed maturity way beyond his years for a 12-year-old. So
wonderful.
That's all my prayer.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you may not. Is Jennifer out of the hospital now?
She's not. She's not out. They hope to release her today. So they thought they were going to have to put some kind of cement in her back to fix the fracture. But turns out they're not going to have to do that because it's showing that she's healing. So praise be to God for that. They don't know why she had her. It wasn't a seizure per se, but it was more of just a blackout. They don't know exactly why. It had to do with her, could be her blood pressure, could be a myriad of things, the response to the immunotherapy, they're not exactly sure, but just pray that it doesn't happen again too. And
Well, we definitely we pray a lot for Jennifer on this show. We're glad to do so, and we'll continue to do so. And if you're listening to this, Jennifer, in hospital, know that Mike and all of us here are very much keeping you in our thoughts and in our prayers at this time. And it's good news that surgery is not needed. That's good. I've never heard of cement being put into somebody's back. That sounds I've never heard of that before, Mike. Is this a new thing, cement in people's backs?
Well, Todd told me that... our host on LA Catholic Morning said, I think they were going to put some super glue in his dad's back. It's nothing new, I guess.
Wow. I've heard of cement being applied to people's feet, but that's for a slightly different procedure in a different city, but that's a whole different ballgame. Okay, well, listen, we'll definitely pray for Jennifer, and glad
Thank
that she's
you.
On the mend. And we'll pray
you.
For Donnie and the children, Stella, and who's the third one?
Donnie, Jordan, and Stella.
That's it. I thought it was Jordan. That's it. Yeah. So we pray for all of them. And we pray for a happy family reunion maybe later tonight, Mike. And this will start to fade. And the Romano family will return to its oasis of tranquility, which we hope and pray with the Lord at its center. Okay, David, this final decade, any final thoughts have come to your mind?
Yeah, just how thankful I am, Kevin, for having the ability to come in and pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet with you guys every other Wednesday. It's been a very, very, very positive spiritual experience. And I wanted to attach to the Romano wagon the dear friends that asked me to do this, and that's Dan and Julie Jakeson. So I want to add them to the fifth decade.
Yes, both of whom have been on this show, both of whom have been prayer warriors as well, and we very much value their input, Dan and Julie, wonderful characters. So absolutely, well, we're very, very pleased for you to come in and join us, David. So it's a win-win. The Lord distributes his gifts in this way. Amen. Okay, well, let's pile this all onto this final decade, and let's pray together. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude together, Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Now, Eternal Father, Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And then we finish together. O my Jesus, I trust in thee.
O my Jesus, I trust in thee.
O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
David, thank you so much for coming in, taking time out of your busy week spend some time with us praying.
Absolutely, Kevin. My pleasure.
And give our very, very best to Anna Elizabeth. If we don't speak before Easter, then I'm hoping that it'll be a wonderful Easter vigil for you. It must be something. Oh. It's going to be a very special one. Right?
I cannot wait. And I can't wait for her and all the rest of the catechumens coming in. It is the vigil mass is a truly moving experience, and I'm about to burst when I think about the amount of joy that they're going to experience. It's a true blessing.
Well, listen, all of them, including Anna Elizabeth, have a standing invitation to come on this show and pray during the Divine Mercy. So if anybody wants to, these new Catholics, these new minted Catholics, let them come on the show and we'll pray together. It'd be a wonderful experience for us, if not for them.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, David, have a wonderful Wednesday, whatever you get up to. Hope it's full of blessings, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks again, David. When we come back, we will be concluding the story of Blessed Father Michael McGivney and his various trials. This part of the story is where he sets up the Knights of St. Columbus. Okay, we're back after these words. Stay tuned to the Turning Frequency. Welcome back to the Turning Frequency, here live and exclusive with me, your sort of resident werewolf sitting in here from London, Kevin Turley, reporting for duty on the good ship Archangel. So, listen, I said a lot of, I reported a lot of harsh things about where Americans are maybe up to today, and I apologize if that offended anyone, because it was basically saying that they were no longer a religious country, no longer a patriotic country, pretty work shy, and no interest in anything except money. Let's get a little bit of audience reaction to that. Reed and Mike, is that a fair summary of where you're up to?
So not interested in work, but interested in money, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's what the survey seemed to suggest, that people didn't want to work, but they liked money. The love of money was increasing, but the love of hard work was decreasing.
I think it's because we live in a culture, society where it's we want that immediate gratification, you know, that we got to have that Wi-Fi password. We got to have that instant connection. And so because of that, that leads to, you know, I don't have to do anything. I just want the money. Give me the money.
Well, that's right. And I think as well, I mean, it's sort of chicken and egg a little bit. It's something that other people haven't really picked up on, that as religious practice declines, or the value of religion declines, everything else starts to decline. So people aren't interested in having families. They're not interested in getting married. They're not interested in their country. One of the other things which I didn't touch on was the amount of civic interaction, which was very high in the late 1990s. People wanted to be part of their communities, part of their cities, their towns, whatever. That people have retreated from that en masse, seemingly. But I do think that the key to this is that if you don't understand your life through a religious lens, i.e. a vocational lens, i.e. that God has a meaning and a purpose specific for you so that you can contribute to what we Catholics call the greater good, then yes, it is all about passwords and it's all about money and it's all about doing as little as possible and getting as much as possible, right?
You know, I'm starting to think, Kevin, what do you think would happen if we did away with cell phones, we just went back to, you know, old telephone lines and, you know, maybe dial up internet?
The Turley frequency may not exist anymore.
I was just thinking that, Reed. I was thinking that's the end of the Turley frequency. But, you know, you may be onto something there, because there is a kind of a movement. It's very small, but there is a little bit of a kickback against smartphones. And Michael Warren Davis, who we had on recently, is a proponent of this, that people should sort of disconnect from the modern world in that sense. The problem is this, though. I don't know what it's like in Alabama, but here in London, without a smartphone, without an internet connection, there are certain things you just can't do, which you have to do, like pay certain local taxes or whatever it happens to be, because there's no other way in which you can actually interact with people. So I don't know if that if we've kind of crossed that bridge and there's no return.
Or another way is, okay, the only way, you know, you can only use it for you know, paying bills
or the
Turley frequency or paying bills, but you have to pay if you want for entertainment, to watch YouTube or to watch a TikTok video or whatever. That's every time you watch it, you're getting charged. I don't know.
Good. Yeah, I know.
Put up some kind of barrier. You got to have skin in the game, is what I'm saying.
I can't fault your logic, Mike, but I can't see them queuing around the block for that one somehow. That we're gonna have to pay for that. We're so used now to all you can eat, right? 24/7 internet connection for a flat fee. And do you know what this is reminding me of? You're probably both too young to remember it. Do you remember the first Planet of the Apes film? With Charlton Heston. You ever seen that?
It's been a while, but I've...
Okay, so I'm probably going to give... If anybody's listening and doesn't want to hear the ending, switch off now. I'll come back in a minute or so. So the ending is... So basically, Charlton Heston and the other astronauts have landed on Planet of the Apes. And the apes are in charge, and it's all strange, and they're very unhappy, obviously. And the whole thrust of the film is that the astronauts want to get back to planet Earth. Somehow they want to make it back, and they're planning that. Anyway, the final scene is really iconic, because Charlton Heston's riding down a beach and he comes across the Statue of Liberty submerged in the sand.
Oh.
And he gets off the horse and he drops to his knees and he starts to cry, because he realizes there is no escape. And you know what, Mike, just as you're talking and Reed as well, I think that we're at that stage. I don't think we can go back now. I think that we are into this 21st century digital world, and we're going to have to make the most of it. We're going to have to make it work for us as opposed to against us. But I don't think we can turn the clock back.
And also because of original sin, the human soul, we've become so addicted to it.
We are. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Reed. Go
ahead, Reed.
I was just going to say that I can unfortunately foresee some sort of electromagnetic pulse being used as a weapon in the future to, you know, disable electronics for entire areas. And in one sense, I think, you know, people who experience that will quickly go back to lives that don't require technology because, I mean, you know, it's not like humans can't live that way, and it'll be required for people to survive. And then, You know, I also think that that'll be kind of a consequence of, like, the technology that advances in conflict.
Or yeah. I was going to say, what if we're held to a time limit? And if we go beyond that on our phones, you know, we could only use it for, you know, you check in for work, use it for work. And then after that, unless in the case of an emergency, you know, you have to pay, you know, if to increase your blocks of time or whatever for however you want to use it. I don't know.
Possibly. I mean, can I ask either of you, and feel free not to answer this question live on air.
Okay.
When was the last time you switched off your phone for any considerable period? And I'm talking more than hours. I'm talking, have you ever switched your phone off for a couple of days in the last 5 years?
Yeah, actually, last week I did, because I was trying to. As soon as I, you know, this Lent I've been working on, you know, after work, turning the phone off, being more present, you know, with the kids. Mm-hmm. And I typically, according to my screen time, have spent anywhere about 3 hours, between 3 to 4 hours a day on it. Most of it being for work. Mm-hmm. But last week, I was able to cut that down to under an hour.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Well, I salute you.
I just want to encourage everybody to just try it. Just try it. It was so good to just unplug, defrag.
Yesterday on LA Catholic Morning, we spoke with Cecilia Allen, who. She spent a year in a Carmelite monastery, and she highlighted the different ways in which the lack of technology she felt increased her just perceptiveness. She had a clearer mind.
Mm-hmm.
She talked about that for LA Catholic Morning.
Yeah. I could certainly see that.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, look, if anybody takes Mike's suggestion, which is a good one, and you need help, then call 888-928-0881 24/7. We will be here. If there's anybody detoxing and you're going through some sort of trauma as a result, and you need to call us and talk about it. But no, you're absolutely right, Mike. But, you know, we kind of need phones for this, for that, to find out this. Anyway, it's... We'll watch this space. Listen, let's go story time, because we need to catch up on what's happening next with Father Michael McGivney. So welcome back to Storytime here on the Turley Frequency. This is the part of the show where we down tools. You hopefully pick up a cup of coffee, or hopefully you're not driving, but whatever you're doing, you just sort of enter into the theater of the mind, which is storytelling. You heard Darnell talking earlier about the whole business of storytelling, and it's very much a Catholic art form. We have obviously the greatest storyteller of all time, which is our Lord and the parables and all the rest of it, but also the Bible is full of great stories, wonderful stories. So, and it's also full of the story, the greatest story ever told. So this part of the show, we just try to tell stories about holy men and women who have lived amongst us and who have witnessed Christ in their lives, in their very, very different lives. So we've had all sorts of people talked about, some famous, some hardly known at all, but they're all known to God. Now, if you've been following us, yesterday we started this story of Father Michael McGivney, and as in all the best two-part adventures, I have to give a little summary of how we've got to this part for anybody who's just tuning in today. So Father Michael came with his parents came over to America from Ireland. They settled in Waterbury, Connecticut, and that's where the young Michael was born. He was the eldest of 13 children, remember? I think 6 of which died in infancy. And then he had a rather difficult upbringing because he had to work with his father in a brass factory, and the young Michael's job was to make spoons. Yeah. Eventually, he followed his priestly vocation and went off to various seminaries, both in Canada and upstate New York. And but then he had to interrupt his seminary training because his father died. And Michael, being a good son, had to return home to look after his mother and his younger siblings. And with that, he thought that his vocation was probably going to be stunted, if not ended, by this interruption. And at this point, he was only 20 years old, but he dutifully began working again at the factory. And I think that that's one of the most telling moments in Father Michael's young life, because it shows such a dedication to his family and to his duty, even though it had been so much easier to say to his mother, well, look, Mom, that's great, but I've got to be a priest, and I'm called to be a priest, and I should be at this seminary, and it's wonderful, having a wonderful time. He was great at baseball, and he was good with his studies, and is very popular. But no, he gave that all up, and he went back to Waterbury, back to that factory, back to making spoons so that he could make ends meet. As I told you yesterday, he was saved from this, and his vocation was saved by the local bishop of Hartford. I'm not sure if it was an archbishop by then, but it was certainly the bishop of Hartford stepped in and managed to find some funds so that they could sort out his family and also sort out the young Michael's seminary formation. Subsequent to that, he was ordained a priest, and then he started serving parishes in the New Haven area. And I told you the story yesterday of how he served everybody in those parishes, the rich, the poor, and everybody in between, but also particularly one young man called James Smith. Do you remember? He was on death row, and how Father Michael went to him, talked to him, convinced him to make confession, to hear Mass, to receive Holy Communion, and to die effectively in a state of grace. Notwithstanding all the bad things that this young man had done, he had killed a police officer, but Father Michael saw the bigger picture, which was that a soul was at stake here, and a soul that could turn to despair and be lost forever, and it was Michael, Father Michael, who saved him. Now, Father Michael's early life experiences, which I've just very briefly recounted there, left a profound mark upon him. Because he was aware that families, destitute families, were vulnerable to all sorts of moral difficulties in those situations. But he was also aware of the difficulties that the average working family had to undergo, which the affluent would never know. So that, for example, there was a lot of industrial injuries at that time in those factories. People would suffer that, and then through that, or illness, unexpected illness, they would be, tipped into penury. Families would not be able to support each other, and this had a terrible influence, an effect upon families. And as I say, it could open the door to all sorts of moral evils that could come into families. And one of the other problems was that the death of a working parent could mean that the bereaved family was broken up. So that puts it in a slightly different light, the young Michael's intense desire to return to help his mother. It was, of course, because he loved his mother and he loved his brothers and sisters. But he also was aware that if he did not enter into that situation and give up his dream to be a priest at that time, then the family could end up being broken up, and some of those children would be taken away and given to other families, or goodness knows what. And some of them would be sent to various state institutions, which even then was not a particularly attractive prospect for anybody. So Father Michael's life, he had a first-hand experience of what poverty, and particularly unexpected poverty brought around through the death of the father, what that could mean for a Catholic family, for any family, but particularly for a Catholic one. So as a priest, he decided to do something about this, and he began to explore the idea of a Catholic fraternal benefit society. Now, what's that? Well, that is a society that would sort of financially support any family, especially after bereavement. So it was allowing that moment of crisis to be attended to have some support to the family, both moral and financial, so that they could get through that crisis and then hopefully get back on their feet in some way and move on. So on March 29th, today, 1882, Father Michael founded the Knights of Columbus. The Knights of Columbus, which many of you in America will know and have had some experience of in good ways. Some of you listening to this may be a Knight of Columbus. I know we've had some who've come on the show and prayed with us during the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Now, the Knights of Columbus ostensibly was to be a mutual aid society in the event of the death of the man of the house. And it would, in that circumstance, provide immediate financial assistance to the widow and orphans. The Knights of Columbus was a way, Father Michael would later write, to, quote, unite the men of our faith, that we may thereby gain strength to aid each other in time of sickness, to provide for a decent burial, to render pecuniary assistance to the families of deceased members. Now, the Knights of Columbus would not just help the living after a bereavement with practical means, but would also help to nurture the Catholic faith of those who joined in the charitable enterprise. So it was a kind of mutual beneficial society. There were those that benefited through the financial and moral support of the knights, but the knights themselves would become better and holier men, it was an order of man, through this charitable enterprise. It also gave a particular focus to what Father Michael understood about mankind, which is that we need to help others. We have a desire to help our brothers and sisters in need. There's no situation whereby you would, if you see somebody in need, the human heart, the human tendency in all of us is to try and go and help them. So Father Michael was orientating this desire to help other people in a very positive way. But he was also, the title Knight, for example, was deliberate because Father Michael foresaw that it chimed with something which was very instinctive to a lot of men, which is this idea of chivalry, this idea of a sort of an instinct better than ourselves that wants to provide for others in the event of difficult circumstances. There was also another aspect of the Knights which is not to be overlooked, and it's this. You see, in the 19th century, the times we're talking, mutual aid societies were not uncommon, but they were often linked to and to do with Freemasonry. Now, as you know, Freemasonry has always been condemned by the Church. It's a secret society. It has secrets, sort of passwords, codes and handshakes and all this type of thing. But it also has a sort of deistic view of religion, i.e. all religions are basically the same. That's principally the problem with Freemasonry. If a Catholic were to join it, he would be also joining people of all sorts of religions, all acknowledging a God, but it's a very vague definition of what God is. And it's not the Christian idea of God, which is, of course, Trinitarian, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So he was trying to break that connection or to give Catholics an outlet for something much better. In a letter to his fellow priests explaining what he was doing in the diocese, Father Michael said that it was the practical charity was offered to prevent people from entering secret societies by offering the same, if not better, advantages to our members. So what he was saying was that this fraternal organization would have all the benefits of Freemasonry, but would be situated within the faith as opposed to the ideology of Freemasonry. So it was a very, very interesting move. But there was another strand to his vision. Yet again, think about it, the Knights of Columbus. Who was Columbus? Well, many thought at the time that it was impossible, you see, to be a good Catholic and a good citizen of the United States of America. That was what the know-nothings, do you remember we talked about them yesterday? They were suggesting that that was the case. Well, these Knights of Columbus would explode that myth and be not just good Catholics, but good citizens. Now, Christopher Columbus, I don't need to tell you, is the revered founding father of what has become today the United States. So he was taken as the titular patron for the Knights. And his name would remind Americans that the same Columbus had been a Catholic. And Father Michael's naming of his new society was thus, in my opinion, a stroke of genius, because it located the Knights in the continuum of American history, whilst reuniting that history with its Catholic origins. Now, with such a pedigree, the Knights of Columbus could present themselves to American society confident both of their place within that society and of the charity and compassion they offered to their fellow citizens. As Father Michael would write of this vision for the Knights, he said the following: unity in order to gain strength to be charitable to each other, in benevolence whilst we live, and in bestowing financial aid to those whom we have to mourn. So it was a very, very rounded vision of what was involved here. And it is telling from the start that Father Michael was adamant that the Knights of Columbus should be a lay-led initiative. So again, this is very far thinking in the 19th century, when so many things were very clerical. He said, not at all. So after the first lay head of the Knights was appointed, its founder, Father Michael, retreated to the role of chaplain to the fraternity. So that was a very, very forward-thinking thing. Now, I haven't got time to go into all the details about the Knights, but it can be said that Father Michael did an awful lot of good by just starting that organization. And wherever he went, he would get involved in that. And one of the parishes that he went that we talked about yesterday, which has hit the headlines in 1884, he became the pastor at St. Thomas Church in Thomaston. But by then the clock was ticking, and Father Michael knew that he would die because he was plagued with tuberculosis, which was a killer in the 19th century. And after a bout of severe pneumonia, he was claimed from this world on the Feast of the Assumption, 1890. Now, you may remember yesterday we started talking about Father Michael in terms of the Eucharist. Do you remember that the Eucharistic miracle that is alleged to have took place in the church where Father Michael was finally was working there in the parish before he died? And we talked about what had brought the McGivney family to the United States. And it was, in Irish, what's known as the Great Hunger, the famine. And it's kind of interesting then that Father Michael was beatified on October 31st, 2020. Now, what's the connection? Well, that point, remember, was the high point of the pandemic. And Holy Mass was denied for many, many faithful across the world for many, many months. And we had to endure a Eucharistic fast like no other in modern times. Do you remember? So is it any wonder then that this holy priest would be beatified in the middle of that? Because he understood the hunger that we were going through, an even greater hunger than his forebears had had to suffer in Ireland. Because when they arrived in the New World, the family's eldest son was called to the priesthood so he could feed the hunger of the souls entrusted to him. And as a priest, he did so with the only food that truly satisfies, and which became the impetus for all he did and continues to do in unseen ways, and that is the Holy Eucharist itself. Father Michael McGivney, blessed Father Michael McGivney, pray for us.
Excellent, Kevin. Who do we have coming up tomorrow?
Well, I'm glad you asked me, Reed. Tomorrow we have no less than Christopher Ruddy, who is the CEO of Newsmax, dropping in to talk to us about media and all other things related.
Wow, that seems like it's going to be very interesting.
Well, you're going to have to tune in early. I think he's coming on in the first segment. So Christopher Ruddy tomorrow, coming on exclusively on Archangel Radio. I hope you've enjoyed today. And if you have, let's do it all again. Same time, same frequency, same Turley. And until then, stay tuned to the only radio station that is broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit, which is, of course, Archangel Radio. So until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you, and may St. Joseph watch over you.